back to KNBR's Giants pregame. You're talking baseball with Marty Lurie on The Sports Leader.
Nice to have you back with us. By the way, Steve Bitker sent a nice text in. Steve, I love listening to him on KCBS. Urias, Julio Urias, and that's the way to pronounce it. Steve, thank you so much. Six perfect innings with six strikeouts in his last start, 77 pitches. Dodgers are thinking of using him out of the bullpen. How about that? All right, let's go to Andy Bagley at Extra Bags on Twitter. He covers the Giants for the Bay Area Newspaper Group. Andy, good morning. How are you?
Good, Marty. How are you?
Good, very good. Glad to be here. We had George Kontos on with us last night. I don't know if you got to hear him, but he's enjoying taking the calls. We had him talking to Andrea last night.
Oh, really? What's George's sign? He'd be like a Scorpio? No, what is he?
Well, actually, I think it's a slider, but I'm not sure. But I think that's it. But he may have his chart done. Let's put it that way. But he's going to go out on a rehab tomorrow, and let's start off with him because, you know, when he comes back, interesting spot for him. And where do you see him slotted in when he comes back? Let's assume he comes back at full speed.
Well, you know, obviously the sooner they can get this bullpen back to full strength, the better. You know, I think it's performed reasonably well, despite, you know, some of the long relief issues. And obviously then Mazzaro got torched the other day. We were kind of sort of the running joke going around is, well, you know, Vin Mazzaro will be the random guy that we say after the Giants win the World Series, hey, he gets a ring too, you know, since he appeared for all the two games. And now, of course, they've got another guy coming up who's going to make his big league debut, and he pitches for the first time. But, you know, I think that he's probably holding the place on the roster until Kontos is back. And who knows, maybe Tim Lincecum will be part of the equation. But I would imagine after at least two, possibly three rehab appearances, George will be back, and he'll be stepping back into that role where he comes in the sixth inning, fifth mm-hmm. inning, you know, seventh inning with runners on base, tries to leave those inherited runners. And obviously some of those innings have been a problem that the Giants have let spiral out of control here early and had one of those a little bit yesterday, but was able to overcome it.
Yeah, that's exactly what I told him last night. I said, you know, and I learned many years ago from Art Howe and Ken Maka, the save can come at any time in a game. And he, Hunter Strickland and George, I think, were the kings of inherited runners. And, you know, you come in that sixth inning, 5 2/3 or 6 1/3, and you come in with first and third or second and third. You get out of the inning, that's it. Then you set it up for the guys to close it. I think that's his role, and I think they miss him.
Well, the very first time, Marty, if you remember, that George was not available and we first learned he was dealing with something was in Colorado, and they had to bring Heston in to face Arenado with the bases loaded. And Arenado was only 7-for-14 off him with a couple bombs, and sure enough, he hits a bases-clearing double. And that would have been George's spot right there. So they've literally missed him from the very first time he wasn't available way back in mid-April. And yeah, for sure, Bruce Bochy, if he's got Kontos in his bullpen, he's going to use him. He's going to use him a lot. And, you know, one good thing, I think, when you get to a point where you have enough service time like George does, if this is last year, he probably doesn't say anything because he's riding the shuttle, he's going up and down. If he's unavailable or he's dealing with a little something, they'll just option him out and get a different arm in. But now that he's got a guaranteed contract, now that he's, you know, into arbitration, now that he can't be sent out because he's out of options, he probably, I don't want to read his mind or speak for him, but I would imagine that he feels a little more free to say, you know what, I'm being used a lot. It's starting to bark at me. I'm going to say something. And you know what? He should, because it's his life and his career. And I think that he'll be better and the Giants will be better for him having taken this time.
Yeah, very well said. He had fun last night, and he's going off to Sacramento tomorrow for his inning. And then he's hoping maybe about a week or 10 days, but we'll see. I said, not so fast. I kind of like having you on the show with me, you know. And you know, with you and Alex and him, I think we could do things together. I really do.
Is the professor Ron Wotus going to get jealous that George is getting more airtime than he is?
Well, you know, it's funny you said that because the professor, of course, will be on tomorrow, and we have the philosopher today, Javier Lopez, and they got into it of Javier saying, "Look, I'm setting things up for you for tomorrow morning." And, you know, so they started getting into it. So, you know, and then all of a sudden I got Dave Greshner, who now wants to be part of it. So I got.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I've got a lot of things cooking here. How do you like what they're doing? How do you like what they're doing?
You got to get.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, Marty, you got to get on Carl Cochran.
I was just going there. I was just going to ask you that.
That's got to be your next guess. It has to be, right?
I love it because bring everyone up to date on that. We did it last night, but Carl is the strength coach, and all of a sudden he's the guy, the butt of the jokes right now.
Well, Carl has a very self-deprecating sense of humor, and he has a little bit of swagger, and the players just, you know, gravitate to it and get on him, and it's all in good fun. But you know, Denard Span hits just crushes one that's a double or a triple, I forget, and he looks into the camera in his post-game interview, and every question he's asked, no matter what it's about, he brings it back to, if we had a real strength coach like instead of Carl, that would have been a home run. And so that was on the last homestand. So we go to Cincinnati, and this is almost a full week later, and Posey hits three doubles, and I think he had this in his back pocket and he was waiting for it. And finally we approach him and ask about the three doubles, and he said, well, at least two of those would have been homers if we had a decent strength coach instead of Carl. And so last night, Crawford hits his three-run bomb, and we go and talk to him, and he sneaks in maybe I could hit one in the water if we had a strength coach, but we're stuck with Carl. So, you know, the poor Carl hashtag has been born.
I love it. Yeah, this is part of it. Look, this is what it's all about. You know that. And, you know, you travel together, you live together for 6 or 7 months, and you need that stuff. It's the rally thong and all that. Cowboy up, the idiots, whatever it is. Teams need it. They need this. And maybe this is a little bit of what's getting them through the first couple of months.
Oh, for sure. There's always fun stuff. And that's the best part of the beat is, you know, there's so much great baseball writing and great baseball reporting, even from people who don't go to games and cover games. And in a way, it liberates you because you can write whatever you want. You're not beholden on, you know, writing something that might upset a player because you don't have to worry about your access. And you can really intently watch the game and back it up. And it's harder to do when you're in the press box live writing a game story. You know, it's got to be filed at the last pitch. In a lot of ways, I see a lot more when I'm watching on TV. But all that being said, you know, what I get to do is walk in the clubhouse and interact with the players and ask the questions that fans would ask and sort of do things to bring them inside that clubhouse. And that's sort of what I feel my major role is. And it's stuff like that I think is the gold. That's the good stuff. And that's the stuff that's really fun for me to write about.
No, you do it well. Andy Baggerly with us at Extra Bags. Andy, last night you compared Brandon Belt maybe to Joey Votto. I like it. I hadn't thought of it that way, but maybe I see it.
A lot of walks. I mean, he's walking a ton. Even if it's an RBI situation, if he's not getting the pitch he wants, he's passing on it. And he's, you know, tied for third in the major leagues in walks right now. The only two guys who have more walks are Joey Bats and Paul Goldschmidt. So, you know, and when he is getting a pitch to hit, like that, you know, pitch inside that he turns on for a double, you know, he's doing damage and getting extra base hits. So I wonder, Joey Votto's Canadian, so maybe he's the Canadian giraffe now.
Very good. Yeah, you know, if you look for, well, let's go to Hunter Pence, because he showed me something last night. Cut down on the swing, just hit the ball up the middle, had some big hits. He had three hits last night.
Yeah, that was a really big at bat. You know, first of all, Belt draws the two-out walk to extend the inning. That's part of it. And then Pence, two strikes, two outs, and tying run at third base. And that's what makes him so dangerous. He gets a fastball that's off the plate outside, and he's able to lunge out and get enough bat on it, and DJ LeMahieu has to smother it, and there's no way he can try to get to his feet to throw because Pence is too fast, and there is no chance to throw him out. And that's, you know, I think when you look back at the Giants' success in the postseason and why they've been able to dispatch 10 consecutive postseason opponents over the three World Series years, you know, I think a lot of it is they have guys like Hunter Pence, or they had Pablo Sandoval, and guys that couldn't be pitched a certain way. They could still do their damage because they had a knack for covering the strike zone and even a little bit beyond the strike zone. And that's just so invaluable come October time. And obviously it can be valuable with two strikes and two outs in a tie ball game in May too.
Well, they showed it last night, and very, very big hits last night. I thought the two-out hits and Belt's double down the line was another one after a couple of walks. He's been terrific. He really has. And the Madison Bumgarner last night, he wasn't going to lose on Willie Mays' birthday night. He definitely pulled it together.
Well, you remember I came over, Marty, and I told you in the first inning I thought he had his best stuff of the year. And he ends up striking out 10 and breaks down Arenado's swing and striking him out his second at bat. and says, you know, he's a perfectionist, so he's not where he quite wants to be. But, I mean, I thought, and a number of guys in that clubhouse thought that was the best stuff he's had all year. Mm-hmm. And boy, I'll tell you what, if he gets to the point where he's starting to have complete shutdown starts like he has in the past, we know that Samardzija is at that level right now. And Cueto, even though he's had a couple big innings mixed in, has pretty much been at that level all season. You know, this is a team that's got some – it's a train ready to go downhill as long as they can get something out of their four and five spots. Because if they get Bumgarner going on the ace-like level he's been at the past, you know, it'll be really easy to see them winning three in a row with Bumgarner, Cueto, and Samardzija, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Andy, can you stick around for once a little bit more? I want to take a quick break. I want to ask you about Lincecum a little bit and talk about Peavy and Kane and get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, sure, of
Good.
Course.
Okay, all right. We'll take a quick break. Andy Bagley will stick with us, and we will come back with him right after this.
KNBR's Giants pregame continues. You're talking baseball with Marty Lurie on The Sports Leader.
All right, back with Andy Bagley here at Extra Bags on Twitter. Andy, a couple of things. One, Lincecum, you and I had a chance to watch a little bit of the showcase yesterday together. What's your general opinion on him and maybe some of the aftermath of some of the things he said?
Well, you know, there's only so much I think you can see, you know, squinting at your laptop watching some streaming video that wasn't – and I think the camera guy was for CSN was – probably more concerned with getting visuals that were good for TV than scouting purposes, because he kept moving the camera around, zooming in and out. I'm like, hold still, hold it still. I want to see his arm action. I want to see, you know, where the stuff's moving. You know, the real feedback is going to come when he faces hitters, and he's going to have to do that in the minor leagues. And you know, even if a team says, look, this is a starting job, it's yours for the taking, you know, sign with us and it's yours. He's still going to have to go to the minors. He's going to have to build up his pitch count and get used to game situations and face hitters again, and that's the feedback. But that said, he threw a couple curveballs that just fell off the table that I thought were really impressive. He looked fairly free. He wasn't sort of snapping over his front leg. He was seemed to be getting over his front leg okay. Didn't have that sort of high finish with his back leg coming up like he used to. So I don't know if he's got the full flexibility that he did when he was, you know, a 24-year-old. But he does look like, you know, there's nothing bothering him when he throws. And I thought Javier Lopez said it best when I talked to him, because he watched the showcase as well. And he said, you know what, he looks healthy. And if you're an athlete, being healthy is number one. And everything else will come after that. But it was just good to see him healthy.
Do you think the Giants fit into this in any way? I know they've said only as a reliever, and he only wants to come back with a shot at a starter. But we'll segue into the four and five spots in a second. But do you think the Giants fit into this in some way?
Yeah, there again, I asked Javi, you know, what he thought his chances were, and he said 55%. And I thought, that's a pretty good number. That's a Tim Lincecum number right there, 55%. And I think that probably is about right. You know, if a team comes in and says, you know, we're going to give you a chance to start, I think that he would take it. Only in certain markets. I don't see him going to the Baltimore Orioles. I don't see him going, you know, to someplace completely random. I do wonder, and this is completely a hunch, but I wonder if the Marlins and Jeffrey Loria would say, hey, you know, I want to have all the toys. I want to have Tim Lincecum on my team. I think that's why he picked Barry Bonds as his hitting coach. You know, he makes moves like that. And you know, it would be a challenge for Timmy to pitch on the road in some of those sweaty environments, but of course it's climate controlled in Miami now. The Dodgers, I think, is the terrifying scenario mm-hmm. for everyone. That's what nobody wants to happen, just because it would be so hard to manage those emotions. And, you know, I don't think that Timmy would go sort of in spite like Brian Wilson did, but, you know, if they have an opportunity, it'll be interesting. And I guess they are going to call up Julio Urias, and I think you were talking about that earlier, right, as a reliever. So, and the Angels obviously have a need now with Richards having Tommy John surgery, and they're down two starters. So, you know, that would be a possibility, I would imagine, for him as well. He wants to be on the West Coast. He probably prefers. But, of course, as a free agent, he's saying all the right things of, you know, I'll pitch anywhere, I'll go anywhere, et cetera. But in his comments yesterday, he did make some concessions that he may have to go somewhere as a long reliever, even though he doesn't want to. And you know what, Marty? We know him very well. He loves being a Giant. He loves being here. I think personally for him, his first choice far and away is to come back. And I can see it happening very easily, because even if the Giants are sticking by Kane and Peavy and publicly saying all the right things, you know, Lincecum can look at this situation and see the avenue to getting back in the Giants rotation. And, you know, regardless of what anyone is saying, the way those two guys are performing, you have to think that he looks at this scenario and thinks that avenue might be a bit wider than it was a month ago.
Well, it's going to be interesting. And he says he's going to decide quickly. So maybe in the next few days we'll see what's going to happen. But great baseball entertainment, a great baseball story. Andy, you explained it really well. Let's talk about Kane and Peavy just for a couple of seconds. Obviously, you have the big three. You have the two that are not getting it done. There's a lot of loyalty involved. It's a team involved. There are guys who get paid good money to pitch. They've had success in the past. It's six starts. It's a fifth of a season. All of us in Twitter and the fantasy world say, get rid of them, get rid of them. But I don't think that's a reality. I think we're going to see more of them.
Well, I think we will for now. You know, what was really distressing was Kane's last start, because he was just up with everything. Everything looked flat. And I thought that Kane had shown enough flashes that he would be able to turn it around. He just needed to get his pitch count up. He was a little behind from missing the time in the spring. So I probably had a little more, I don't want to say hope, but maybe a little more optimism that he was going to, when it was all said and done, have a pretty good year. And now, gosh, I'm not sure after what I saw in his last start. Peavy, you know, he's a guy who goes out and competes, and he gives you what he has. And when he kind of, you know, doesn't try to bull his way through an inning, he can still be pretty effective just based on guile. But, you know, obviously he's much more hittable than he's ever been before. And, you know, Bruce Bochy is obviously knows him very well, going all the way back to San Diego. We all know that. But he also sees his recent track record. And I'm not just talking about last year, but, you know, the year before as well, when he came to them from the Red Sox having not won in about 2 months and had a great second half. So, you know what? Maybe it's not a bad idea to put Peavy on the shelf and kind of play for him to be a one-half pitcher if physically he doesn't look like he can get it done. But the other part of the equation always is, what's your alternative? What do you have an alternative that's a lot better? And, you know, I'll tell you what, if they had to go get someone from the minors right now, it might be Chris Stratton. He's right. Coming off a really nice start.
Yeah, did you see Clayton what he Blackburn did last night? Last night was
amazing. Absolutely. So, you know, Chris Heston has to rebuild himself back up. The lung relief thing didn't work out. You'd take out his last start, Marty, because it was in Albuquerque, which is like pitching on Pluto. But the moon, Pluto, I don't know what Pluto's.
It's not a planet, is it?
No, it's now, yeah, it's been downgraded to a subplanet asteroid or something. I don't know, whatever.
See, I'm telling the Jeopardy champion this. All right, I feel good now. You made me feel good.
Yeah, no, I don't know what Pluto is, but it's not a planet. It's not a planet, Marty. Anyway, point is, you know, he was pitching in a lively environment, and Albuquerque is kind of a joke, so throw that out. But he's not ready, I think, to pitch in the big leagues. Anyone would tell you that right now. He's got to sort some things out. And then Blackburn's gotten off to a rough start as well. So, you know, they don't have anybody that they could point to and step in and believe that they would be successful immediately. So that's a big part of the decision-making process as well.
Yeah, they've got to deal with it soon. The next start's Toronto, then you're into Arizona. And if I do my math right, I think they could open up against the Cubs. And the problem is they're back-to-back. See, if they were separated, but back-to-back, it's disaster for the bullpen and everything else. And then that puts pressure on the first three guys. So if they're going to stick around for a while, I think they ought to be separated in the rotation if they could do it. And they have a day off. Maybe they can do that.
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking, too. In fact, I was surprised that they went that way to start the season. I thought for sure that they would maybe even have Peavy as the number two starter to try to, you know, because he is a guy who really struggled the previous year getting through a lineup a third time. So I thought that he'd be managed differently and maybe put him between two guys who are probably going to throw you 220, 230 innings. That would really help, you know, stretch out the bullpen workload. And I do think that's something that they really should do and probably will the next time they have a chance to juggle the rotation.
Well, great. Andy, thank you so much. A great great segment, two great segments of Talking Baseball. I really appreciate it. Very good. Very good. And thank you for being with us today.
Well, you know, Marty, I always enjoy talking baseball with you, so thanks for the invitation.
Yeah, very good. All right, that's Andy Bagley at Extra Bags, covers the Giants for the Bay Area Newspaper Group. More coming up. The Walk to the Public House is coming shortly. We'll take a break, come back, and get you ready for that right after this on the Sports Leader.